guys, welcome back. This is Taylor and Jeremy with the Millionaire Marriage Podcast. And today we have an awesome topic I'm excited about. In-laws and outlaws.
In-laws and outlaws.
Oh, I love it. Makes you like rip on a six shooter and get going, right?
That's right. Outlaw.
So Jeremy, you came up with this idea,
yeah.
Right? So
yeah.
You kick it off. Tell us what the thought is behind talking about in-laws and
in-laws
outlaws.
In-laws and outlaws.
Yes.
So, like I've heard my whole life, it's okay who you marry. You're not really marrying their family. And then, so like it sounds like good in theory, like, oh yeah, like they're not living at the house.
In theory, yeah.
But then the more I studied family therapy, the more I realized, no, you are marrying your spouse and her whole family.
Oh yeah.
And so the title In-Laws and Outlaws is because we have in-laws, right? But then some of them are like, nah, like they are so involved in our marriage. Like I kind of want to put a bounty on them.
Yeah.
So that the sheriff can come grab them and take them away because they are impacting us so drastically. So that's the concept behind the whole in-laws and outlaws, is understanding how our spouses' families can affect our current family and our current family's functioning if we let them.
Yeah. But the thing, if they don't, is not really thinking, because they're
right.
Going to affect you some one way or the other.
Absolutely.
Whether they're highly involved or not involved at all, it's going
it affects
to
either
a
way.
Huge impact.
Absolutely. No question.
Marriage, no doubt. And so like what we see a lot of times is nowadays is, you know, kids get married. I say kids, right? Young people get married and they're used to running to mommy and daddy with their problems.
Yeah.
Right. Like,
yeah,
like right. they're, that's what they've been doing for 15, 20, hopefully more than 15 years, 20
yeah,
years, right?
Yeah.
20 plus years.
Yeah.
And so, but
hopefully
that's,
not 15,
that's what they're used to. And so
right.
that's what they do.
Yeah.
They default to, hey, we have this financial issue, or hey, I'm mad at him, or hey, we have this going on, or hey, I've dirty clothes need to be washed.
Right.
Like,
right.
They're taking everything to their parents.
Yeah.
You know, I'm assuming that's, you see similar things in family marriage.
Oh,
therapy, right.
Yeah, absolutely. So we have this whole concept in family therapy called triangulation. And it basically is.
Sounds fancy.
Yeah, it's really fancy, yeah. But it's not as fancy as it sounds. Basically, it's where you bring in a third party to alleviate tension. So let's say you have husband and wife and they're fighting about money. Or whatever. Yeah. And so the wife, instead of really working things out with her husband, decides to go talk to her mom. So she's bringing.
Runs to mommy.
Yeah. She runs to mommy.
Yeah.
So she's bringing in this third party that has no control over anything that family does. And all that does is cause more conflict because like, well, why are you going to your mom about our relationship?
Yeah. Our relationship.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, this is mine and yours. So the challenge that some relationships run into, and this can go with really this idea about running to mommy, right? This idea can play out in so many scenarios with it being about parenting or faith or money or a myriad of topics where instead of you working them out with your spouse, you kind of go back to mommy and daddy. So the challenge with that is, and like we talked about life cycles before, the challenge with that is there comes a point in a person's life where their dynamic with their parent. So I do this thing and it's so hard, obviously over podcasts. I basically do two lists and it's PAC and then on the other side, PAC as well. So they're parallel to one another. And at the very beginning, the relationship between your parents is a P, parent to child, P to C relationship. And then eventually it switches to P to A, which is a parent to adult relationship. And then it eventually switches to A, where it's an adult to adult relationship. And then ultimately at the very end, it switches again to C to P, where you end up having to take a parental role in your parents, like if they get older and they
long-term care.
Right. Correct. Yeah. So the challenge becomes is when you're constantly bringing in mommy and daddy into your, it's not that you don't want their advice or, but you're bringing them in inappropriate ways. You are still in this P to C mode when you really should be in an A to A mode, adult to an adult. Right, so your parents never stop being your parents, but it switches more from parenting I'll use the word mentoring, but then it comes to a point where you both are grown adults. And so I appreciate your opinion, but at the same time, it's just your opinion.
Yeah. I'm asking for advice.
Yeah. I'm going to do what we're going to do anyways.
Yeah.
And so I think navigating some of those life cycle challenges where you have, you know, your own family, your own spouse, but yet you are still running to mom or dad for, and I'm using the word lightly, protection. Yeah. Right? Well, you know, mommy, dad, my fallback. But no, they're really not. And so what happens is that creates an outlaw relationship with your spouse and your in-laws, because now they're going like, your parents, they don't have any, like, I appreciate their opinion, but they have no say. Like, they don't get a vote in this house. Yeah. Like, I get a vote, and I've said this before, I get a vote, my wife gets a vote, our kids get half a vote. Yeah. Like, they don't get they're not even a number here. Mm-hmm. And so it ends up causing conflict where there shouldn't be conflict. And so it can create an outlaw relationship where you are outing them. You're outing their influence, which is a bad thing as well, because you want people to influence you, but not to a degree where boundaries are broken, not to a degree where relationships become tense because your spouse is running to their mommy or daddy, and it's
then they have them causing more conflict. Right, they have them in their corner for an argument. Right,
right.
And we see this a lot, is where, you know, a young couple is saying, you know, maybe they want to buy a house, right? Or they want to do an investment, or they want to whatever they want to do in their marriage, right?
Yeah.
And one of the wife runs to the parents and says, "Hey, well, what do you think about this? Well, I don't think it's a great idea. I think you'd be doing this." Well, like, the husband's like, "No, we're not doing it." And my parents agree with me, right? Well,
right.
Okay, but they don't have like a vote in this. Yeah, but you know, they've been here longer. They know what's best for us. It's like,
no. They don't get a vote.
No, like, this is our marriage, right? And I think that we forget that a lot of times, especially nowadays, when we have a really huge influx of people getting married and moving back in with one of the sets of parents, right?
Yeah.
Is it doesn't, you never have that time to be us.
Yes.
Right. It's not our marriage. It's marriage, right? Because everybody in the house is involved in that marriage.
Yeah.
And there's such this weird dynamic that goes on when you invite other people into your marriage. Right. And you do. Right. And we
that dynamic that shouldn't be there.
That shouldn't be there. Yeah. Right. So, you know, we can easily say, well, you know, if I'm inviting some random coworker in our marriage to give all this advice, I would think that you were cheating on me. Right. But it's okay if it's my parents who I'm inviting in to say, they think, you know, we should be having sex twice a week, right? Or they think we shouldn't buy that house. Or we think,
right.
No. Yeah. That's
like, I appreciate their opinion.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, it's just their opinion.
It's their opinion, right? Yeah. And I like how you put that, you know, PAC situation, because when it's an adult to an adult relationship, you do. I'm a big believer on getting advice, right? The Bible talks about, you know, getting advice from multiple counselors.
Absolutely.
And, you know, wisdom and things.
Of course.
But whenever it becomes more of, you know, the parents are making that decision for you, right? Or one spouse is only going to do whatever the parents think are the best idea.
Right.
Has traumatic effects on the relationship.
Oh, absolutely.
Until that gets resolved. You know, like, I've talked about me and Megan, where when we got married, I had been on my own for 3 years. Like, I had been living on my own, paying my own bills.
Yeah.
I was completely independent.
Right.
And she moved out of her parents' home into my home, right?
Yeah.
And how had that very hard dynamic there for a while, because, you know, like, this, she was used to going home, right? Every day after school or work or whatever. And now it's like, oh, she's coming to my house, right? Or our house at this point. And it took us several years to kind of work through what that looks like.
Yeah.
And then, you know, obviously her parents and my parents were both wanted the best for us, right? But again, what they thought was best for us maybe wasn't what we thought were the best for us.
Right.
So let's talk about, you know, what we see a lot is a spouse goes, and we talk about this on, you know, you shouldn't go complaining about your spouse to everybody, right? Everybody.
But anybody for that matter.
Anybody, yeah, right? But typically, you know, they'll go to their parents because that's who they've confided in for years and say, hey, you know, I don't like this or this about them and this or this or that. What are your thoughts on running? And I keep running to mommy and daddy, but I mean, I think it's a great analogy. Yeah. Running to mommy and daddy to complain on your spouse.
Yeah. Okay. So it really goes back to the whole concept of triangulation. So obviously if you're watching this on YouTube, you can see this a little better, but there's three points to it, right? So you have the two bottom points, and the bringing in the third party doesn't fix the conflict or whatever you're trying to do. And so whether this is, you know, calling mom or dad or calling somebody from work or somebody from church or a cousin, it's not solving anything, but rather it's creating tension in other areas where there shouldn't be any tension at all. And so one of the things we work a lot with in therapy is detriangulating.
Yeah.
Like, so instead of like, it's getting people to the place where instead of going to mom or dad or whoever, it's being comfortable enough with themselves where they use an I position. I am feeling this way. I don't care what anyone else says.
Yeah.
This is how I'm feeling. This is my thoughts, not mom's, not dad's, not Susan's, not Jim's, my thoughts. So that's my thought about bringing somebody in just in general. Now, there's a difference between going and the two of you seeking advice from a mentor. That's different.
Very different, yeah.
Opposed to without the other person's permission, bringing in this mediator to help us. And it's like, that's not helping anything, but it's really just making matters worse. So my whole thought on that is, especially when it comes to in-laws, that's how in-laws become outlaws, is when there's no boundaries, there's no parameters on their influence in your family. Now, I'm a huge advocate for you being influenced by people. I don't think you should be a closed off family. So like, you have open, closed, and isolated systems. They just are as they sound. Open, the open influence, closed is their closed influence. Isolation means that they receive no influence from anyone, anywhere. And so like, the last two aren't good. Like, you want to be an open system. You want to be influenced, but to a degree that's appropriate. And so there are, I mean, boundaries is which we've already talked about in the podcast, is a hot topic right now. And if you go to a marriage or a family conference, like, they're going to bring up boundaries.
Definitely.
There's a book out. It is literally called Boundaries by Cloud and Townsend. Good. It's a great book that really kind of starts this process. And so basically it's creating a healthy, appropriate amount of separation between you and your parents. And you had mentioned couples that go home and live with their parents again. Now, me or my wife didn't have that option. Like, it literally wasn't an option at all.
Yeah.
So if we were going to fail, we were going to fail together. There was no going to mom or dad's house. So it's baffling to me. I understand sometime for some seasons, people go back to mom or dad's house. The challenge, like you'd mentioned, is now you just brought in two other people.
Yeah. At least. It doesn't say no other siblings live there.
Right.
Yeah.
And you're trying to form your own, really your own familial system. And now you're having to navigate, like, okay, so you should think the complications with that from just a pure, like, natural standpoint. You guys want to go have sex. Okay, better make sure you're super quiet because everyone's up.
Yeah.
Or, you know, you guys are having an argument. Now it's, okay, now we need to go take a drive.
Yeah.
Because there's no way we're having this argument. So there's a lot of other complications that happen with the whole, like, co-living with your parents that, at least in my estimation, stunt your, because back to the life cycles, you moving from a single individual to a married couple, because there's a lot of transition that happens there. And I would be concerned about a power dynamic that could stunt some of that, could cause challenges down the road for. Okay, so let's say there's that power dynamic, right?
Yeah. My house, my rules.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No question.
Yeah.
So let's say there's a power dynamic, and then so you're already used to just giving in to your in-laws, and then you have kids, right? So now your wife's parents are saying, you know what? We really want you guys here for every Christmas and most Thanksgivings too. And you are going, well, I love my parents just as much as my wife loves hers. So how are we going to navigate these waters?
Oh yeah.
Because now this is not okay. And I'm almost wondering, I'm curious your thoughts on this. I'm almost wondering if it almost creates like an entitlement, like, oh, remember you guys lived with us.
Yeah.
Like, we gave you free rent for a year.
Oh yeah, definitely. But there is a keeping score there, right?
Like, right.
You owe us, right?
Right.
And even if, even if you're paying something, right? More than most likely, you're not paying the same amount you would pay on a mortgage, right?
Sure,
or rent, right, or else you wouldn't be living there, right? And again, we understand there's situations, right, where there's illness and there's other things that go
into unavoidable.
Right? That happens. So we're not talking about that. This is voluntarily moving in with mom and dad, right? There's definitely is. And we see it time and time again. When we're meeting with clients of, I need to allocate X dollars to help with my children, right? Because they can't make it on their own. And we've talked about this off podcast before, how those struggles actually make a couple, right? And diamonds are formed under pressure.
Absolutely.
Me and Megan are very open that if we hadn't went through some of the struggles that we did early on in our marriage, there's no way we would be as strong as we are today as a couple. And we work on it constantly, but it taught us to work through those issues together. Whereas if we're living with our in-laws, it's really hard to work through them, put it that way, right? And so creating boundaries, let's kind of change the dynamic a little bit from talking about living with in-laws to visiting in-laws, right? So how do you protect your spouse at Christmas, at Thanksgiving, at some of these other events where they're exposed to family members, right? And how do you create those healthy boundaries for example, Megan has a very small family, right? One sibling, parents, like just some very, very small handful of cousins.
Yeah.
Her almost entire like extended family fits within my immediate family. I have 8 siblings, right? And so, 8. And so when we have Christmas or something, it is a full on event with porta potties and blow up slides and everything else, because we have to have it somewhere, right? It's an event with 100 people, and that's like my immediate family basically. And so how can spouses protect their other spouse in that situation? Because I know when Megan comes in, there's a whole different dynamic when she was coming to our family events, because it's like going to a circus, right? Sometimes. And me on the other hand, I'm going into this house where it's very small, right? So there's different dynamics there. How would you talk about maybe protecting your spouse or setting those boundaries in some of those situations in that scenario?
Yeah. Okay. So when it talks about like protecting your spouse from your family, that alone is a challenging concept for a few reasons. I'm again just thinking through how you're talking, because if you have to protect your spouse from your family, that means there's something to protect them from. So maybe it's a familiar dynamic, like, hey, this is how my family is. Maybe they're extremely harsh, or maybe they beat around the bush a lot, or maybe they're extremely sarcastic, be considered offensive to somebody who's outside of the family. So they're on the outside. So this is just how our family is. So I think you'd have to start off with some serious, like, open conversation with your wife. Like, hey, this is how my family is. Like, I can't change them. So we can, mitigate some of these by, instead of staying a week, staying a few days. But if your wife or your spouse is like, no, it's no big deal. Like, we're pretty sarcastic too. Yeah. And I think the second thing is you being willing to stand up for your spouse. So, cause what could,
glad you said that. I love that.
Yeah. Cause what could potentially happen, right, is your mom goes, Megan doesn't do this. And you're like, hold on, mom, this ain't about Megan. Just that simple right there. Now, this isn't about my wife. This is about me and you. And so, because that one simple illustration is triangulation in action, where your mom's pulling in somebody else to alleviate tension. You're going, hold on a second. No. This has nothing to do with my spouse. If you have a problem, like, we can talk about it. I'm not bringing them into this at all.
Yeah.
Or what I've seen is this as well. Is, we'll just stick with the husband and wife, because that's the husband's family, wife coming in, and where the wife is going, are you going to let them talk to me that way?
Yeah.
Like, and you're going, well, this is my family. That's not okay for me. And so it becomes really challenging as you have to navigate with your family, because now you could just blow everything up, and it's happened. That, I saw this like meme the other day, and it was a family at Thanksgiving, and some controversial topic came up, and then the caption at the bottom was keeping therapists in business, since Thanksgiving was or whatever. Oh, yeah. And so, so you have a couple options. You just blow everything up, which has happened, but that usually doesn't resolve everything or anything. I think the other option the other option in protecting your spouse is to go to individuals that, there's a problem. I mean, the ultimate goal would be your wife being comfortable enough to confront your family members, but then they can say, oh, well, they're just, so it's usually better for you as the family of origin that's in, you addressing that family member. Cause what, and we see this in like in marriage ceremonies, right? Yeah. Where the wife's going, well, my husband's mother wants this. So if your wife says, your future wife says something to your mom, then she's just bridezilla and she's a terrible. So a lot of times it comes better from the person whose family it is saying, hey, you know what? I know this is how we act, but we ain't going to do that with my wife. Yeah. It's just not okay. That's not how we live at home. So I think it comes dealing with some of that is being willing to stand up for your spouse, even if it's uncomfortable. Because at the end of the day, you're going home with your spouse.
Yeah. Hopefully y'all are going home together, yeah, not right. Just upstairs in your room. Right. Right. The house. Yeah. And I agree. Like I know it. And there's so often we see this, that would solve so many problems if the son or daughter, right, who's the spouse, would just go to the parents and say, hey, listen, here's what this is, right? Like, I don't like it when you talk about that, right?
Yeah.
We will not be coming over here if you continue to say X, right, or act like this. And it's really hard. It's really hard for us, right, because those are our parents, right? And we respect them and we love them and we know it's an uncomfortable situation.
Yeah.
But it's one of the things that I tell every couple, like, got to address it, right? Because if not, your spouse is going to not go over there anymore, right? Which is going to make, or may not, right? May not keep going over there. Or not willingly, or you're going to fewer Christmases and Thanksgivings, and then it just gets worse, right? So have that conversation. And most parents, right? Now, I've seen some parents will get upset, right, and defensive, which is common when people say we're doing something wrong,
right?
I mean, it's common, but that usually goes away. But having that conversation builds that respect, and it builds that bridge, and it builds those boundaries that say, this is us.
You're exactly right.
At the end of the day, like, I understand, mom and dad, I was on your team for 20 years, right, or 25 years or whatever. I was on your team. I have a new team now.
Yeah.
Right? We created a new team, and even though we're all in this together,
you're still in the dugout, but you're not on the field with us.
Yes, but like we are, we're the A team, you're the B team, right? Right, kind of thing, right?
Right?
Or we're varsity and you're JV, like, but we are the team. And that, I understand that's hard for parents as well, right? To see their babies leave the nest, right? But we understand that at that point, your job is really ferrying them and growing them.
Yeah.
I'm not saying it's over by any means, but you're way more hands off, or should be at that point, because that husband and wife need the time to grow together.
Yeah.
Right. I know for Megan and I, both of our in-laws live here relatively close. We have a great relationship with them, but it's not that we never had a bad relationship, but we definitely had to have those conversations up front. Like, hey,
absolutely.
Like we don't love that.
Yeah.
Right. And so that's something that I highly recommend every couple.
Yeah.
Bring those concerns up.
Yeah.
Yeah,
absolutely. So just as you were talking, I was thinking about a coworker I had at a clinic I was working at, and she was talking to me about her in-law woes. And now, mind you, this is another therapist. Okay. So she's talking about her in-law woes, and she made this statement. She's like, every time her in-laws lived in a completely different country. So she's like, every time I go see my in-laws, I get physically sick after like 24 hours being there. I'm throwing up. And she's like, at first I'm thinking, well, maybe it's the food or whatever. And she said, then I come to realize I had so much stress and anxiety about seeing them that it was literally kind of like, the whole power differential we talked about before. It's like, it was a physical problem. It was a physical reaction to the stress that her in-laws caused. And so when you realize something like that is happening as the spouse of the other person, like, okay, we're going to have to fix this, because this isn't going to work like this long term. And a great way to do that is just open dialogue. So people think that conflict is bad. Conflict is not bad. Unresolved conflict is.
Yeah.
Because what can happen? Okay, let's same scenario, and you bring up something to your mom or dad, and they're like, this is going to be a challenge if you guys keep doing whatever it is. So it creates some tension. But what can happen and often does is conflict often leads to deeper levels of intimacy. Now, obviously, you know, in a relational aspect. So what can happen is when you get all of this out in the open, like we have, it's a saying in therapy, we call it catharsis, where you just, it's like word vomiting. You're just unloading. You're like, oh man, I feel so much better.
Off your shoulders.
Yeah. How much do I owe you for this? And I'm like, I didn't do anything, but you know, just go ahead and pay up. And so what can happen is there's like this release, right? Cause you're like, man, I feel so much better just getting this out, how I'm feeling, and then working through a compromise or a solution. So I think like just honesty is the best policy, just getting things out in the open to where you can address them as adults. And this is assuming you have an adult to adult relationship with your parents, and maybe a situation like this could help kind of spur that transition to where, okay, like we're all four adults here, so we want to be treated like such.
Yeah. And it kind of goes back to be able to have that adult to adult relationship means that you can't have somebody controlling the other, right? So whether that's the purse strings, whether that's the keys to the house, whether that's keys to the business, right? Whatever that is. And it's even more important, in my opinion, when you have those dynamics where, and we'll talk about working with family, right, in another episode, because that's a whole nother ballpark.
For sure.
But when you have situations like that where you're kind of, you owe them something, right? I mean, it is this business is when it was created, or it is their house, or it is their gas card, right? Or whatever that you're using, right? You know, being able to have those conversations of, hey, look, I appreciate you helping us out right, during this time, right? We really do appreciate it. That doesn't mean you own us, right? And those are really tough conversations,
Can
be handled with grace when dealt with.
Absolutely.
With grace, right? And so one of the things I wanted to talk about was, somebody in our office, when we were doing this, chatting about this, you know, used the phrase, you know, it ran in my family until it ran into me.
Yeah.
And I loved that, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, I thought it was phenomenal. And it was a great way to kind of build those, I say build those boundaries, help establish some of those. Because I know, like, I have a great family. I love my parents. My wife had great family. Love her family, right? But we both knew, and it's taken a lot of conversations over the years, to say, look, here's what I think my parents did right. Right. And here's what I think they didn't do right.
Mm-hmm.
Here's what I think your parents did right and what, you know, I don't think they did right. How can we kind of merge the best of those?
Yeah.
Right. And that I think that works really well because you have these historical family, I don't want to say curses, but things that run into them, like, you know, whether that's drinking or whether that's drugs or whether whatever it is.
Absolutely.
Things do run.
Absolutely.
And at some point, I don't want those things to continue my marriage, right?
Absolutely.
My home, whether that's adultery or anything else.
Absolutely.
It ran into it ran into me. I love that saying.
Absolutely.
Because it allows you to build your home.
Yes.
Right. At the end of the day, I want to be able to stand on the pillar, right? The cornerstone, and say, this is my family.
Yeah.
And it's me and Megan against the world.
Yeah.
And so what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, no, I love this statement. And so my mind goes back to a book I read in grad work. It was by a lady, her name is Monica McGoldrick. McGoldrick. Yeah. And it's about genograms, which we've mentioned on the podcast, and it's like genogram mapping or something about your family tree. I don't remember the subtitle of it, but I remember her in this statement. She made a statement in the book, and I'm not directly quoting, so you can fact check me if you want to. But in essence, what she was saying was, is you are destined to repeat patterns from your family unless there's an agency of change. And so whether that's, you know, a conversion, whether that's, you know, going through therapy and realizing there has to come a point where things that your parents did that really weren't good, like this ran in my family till it ran into me. Like it's like I am choosing by sheer willpower or by help from God, I am choosing not to allow those type of patterns to influence me, and then also my wife and her family of origin. And so when you talk about in-laws and you start looking at both how your parents are relating to your family and how your wife's parents are, there's going to have to be a time where you say, you know what, like what you're saying with you, what you and Megan did. There are some things that, you know, I'm at probably a different time. Like I had a pretty rough upbringing, like really rough. And, but that's not to say that everything my mom did was just terrible or horrible. Like, she taught me some really good, like, work ethic. I mean, she'd work 50, 60 hours a week. I mean, she was an active drug user. She worked and worked and worked and worked. So I learned a lot of work ethic from her. But there was a lot of things that I'm going, you know what? This is stopping with me. My kids aren't ever going to, they're not even going to know what that life is like. And that's an extreme example, right? But it's this idea that.
But it's a real example. And it's what we're going through every day.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. But it's the idea that just because my mother and father are this way doesn't mean I have to be. I have to have the ability to look at and actually see what's happening so that I don't allow that to impact my kids. And that's, I mean, obviously, you know, looking at parenting is definitely a different topic as well, but, and how it plays with both you and your wife's parents. I love the conversation you guys had. Like, hey, these are things they did really good. These are things that, you know, they do so well.
Yeah.
So how do we merge these two worlds together and see the benefit of our parents and being able to, and that helps with boundary setting as well. Like, okay, so my parents were helicopter parents. I don't want them to be helicopter grandparents now. Yeah. So how do we set some of those boundaries to where stuff like that doesn't happen?
Yeah, no, I agree. And, you know, the discussions Megan and I had about our parents itself and then our in-laws, right? Because, you know, some of the things that she brought up of her observations of my family, right, my observation of her family, were things that neither of us had seen, right? Because we were in it, right? We were in it. And, right. And I will say, like, I love my in-laws. I have amazing in-laws.
Yeah.
You know, Megan says she loved my in-laws, or her in-laws. Yeah. Right? So I think we're okay. Yeah. We all actually have a very good relationship. I'm very thankful for it. But, you know, even to this day, as life progresses, right, as her parents get older and my parents get older, and we're sitting there and say, okay, you know, this is how they are transitioning into these different phases of life, right? We make note of, all right, like, this is kind of how we want to make sure we're doing that, right?
Yeah, or
how we're emulating it for our kids. And so it's a very intentional. And how do we say that? Yeah. I don't think we have a single podcast where we have not said intentional, right? Because that's what it is. But it is. It's just being intentional with structuring our relationship appropriately. And we've built an open system of communication that allows us to say, hey, I love your family, but.
Yeah.
Right. And where Megan doesn't feel defensive and I don't feel super vulnerable, I'm saying, I love your family, but I don't want to spend the night there for a week around Christmas, right? Or whatever it is.
Right. Whatever
the situation is.
Absolutely.
Right? So I think building that communication within your spouse allows you that freedom and flexibility and have a strong marriage. And there's a lot more things that we can talk about with in-laws and outlaws. So we'll definitely hit back this topic again.
Absolutely.
But I know we're kind of running short on time. Any last parting thoughts?
No, that's I think about wraps it up.
Awesome. So keep an eye on our future in-law and outlaw conversations.
Part two.
Yes, part two. If you have a crazy in-law story or you have some advice for somebody who might be going through something, give us a shout at The Millionaire Marriage. Subscribe to the podcast. And we will see you next time.
Bye, guys.